So if you haven't been with us over the last few weeks, we have been going through a series. It works our way through Ephesians, and it's looking at just our identity being in Christ, just because, I mean, not only y'all in y'all's stage of life, but just adults and so many others wrestle with, who am I, and what does that mean for my life, and how we'll try to wrap our identities around so many things. And it's an important question. And Ephesians helps us answer that, like, who are we? And then also, practically, what does that mean for our lives and living that out? And so I like the song we just sang, Exalted Overall, because it really encompasses what we're going to look at tonight and how we're going to look at how in Christ, like, we're empowered. How there's this power that we started seeing last week where the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to our need for Jesus and these promises of Jesus, and how one of those is just the immeasurable greatness of his power and how we desperately need that power. Because what we're going to see is we all are born with a sinful nature that has such a tendency that we want to fall back into sin and fall back into old habits, and that we want to just live for ourselves. We don't want to submit to anyone else. We want to be me, myself, and I. That's what we want as the only Trinity we want to live for. And tonight, I want us to look at how the beautiful thing is that Jesus empowers us to be able to overcome sin and to be able to live for him, and how we need that desperately in our lives, but also how we're going to see that since Jesus is exalted over all, there's implications for that in our lives, that there's implications that apply to us in every aspect of our life. So here's what I wanted to see tonight. Here's the main point of tonight's message, is that in Christ, we are empowered to overcome sin, submit our lives to him, and to live for him. And we're going to be able to do this because Jesus is Lord over everything. And again, if he's Lord over everything, that shows our desperate need for him, but also how he meets us in our need. So in Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 20 to 23. And so here's what it says. It says, he exercised this power in Christ by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he subjected everything under his feet and appointed him as head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. Let's pray one more time, and then we will jump in to study this passage. So Lord, again, as we come before you and study your word, we are totally unable to be able to understand it, teach it, receive it, live it without the power of your Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, would you help us? Again, free yourself from any distractions, humble our hearts and submit them to your word. Help us receive this with joy. If there's sins in our lives we need to confess, would you reveal those? But then also that you give us forgiveness when we confess those sins. And so Lord, I pray it helps us conform more into your image as you call us to. And helps us grow more in our relationship with you and love you with every part of our lives. And that overflows into being able to love other people and helps us grow more as the family you've called us to be here. So Lord, would you just be glorified and honored through the rest of this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's three truths I want us to get out of this passage. First truth is this. We're going to see three ways that Jesus is Lord over something. And the first one is this. Jesus is Lord over sin. So Jesus is Lord over all the sin. And so last week, again, we talked about how the Holy Spirit enlightens our eyes to see our need for Jesus and these promises we have. And so one of those was the immeasurable greatness of his power. And so now Paul continues on that thought of, hey, let's see what this power shows. It says he exercised this power in two different ways. The first one is that he rose Jesus from the dead. Let's not skirt by that. I know we say that very easily, like, oh yeah, Jesus rose from the dead, but think about it. Like, Jesus was resurrected from the dead after 3 days. And the beautiful thing is, if that same Holy Spirit that opens up our eyes to see our need for him, it says in Romans 8:11, that same Holy Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the dead is the same Holy Spirit that spiritually resurrects us and lives within us. So that means if you are a believer in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit of the God of everything living inside you. Think about that for a moment. That is an incredible statement. Because here's the reality. Before Christ, sin separates us from God, and we are a slave to sin, according to Scripture. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, we're going to look at next week. It says, we are dead in our sins. We're just living out whatever our sinful desires are. That we are children under wrath. It says that same thing in Colossians 2. Or another way, in Romans 3, 23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All means all. Everyone has sinned. Another way for us to think about falling short, it means missing the mark. There's this mark that we're trying to aim for. this mark of perfection that God has, and we constantly miss the mark. Here's the very first thing about it, just because I was there yesterday when I was watching at least the guys' volleyball team play, and there were so many times they would jump up to try to spike the ball on the other side. So I'll ask y'all, how frustrating is it when you go for a spike and you think you nailed it and it goes out of bounds, you totally miss the mark? How frustrating is that? It's very frustrating, isn't it? How frustrating is it? Like, you think you nailed it. It's detrimental. And it's like, I remember seeing that, and I would see, like, the frustration on their face. And the reality is when we try to live our lives for Christ, it's just like when we're trying to spike the ball and perfectly nail it, but we're going to miss every single time. Because we're born with this sin nature. There's only one who perfectly hits the mark of perfection every time, and that is Jesus. And we're going to see, though, is the beautiful thing is, even though we miss the mark constantly and we sin and fall short, Jesus is able to forgive us of our sins, and that if we're in Christ, we're able to live out this righteousness he gives us. Because here's the thing, there's just these two realities. We are a slave to either one of two things, either sin or Jesus. We see that in Romans 6:16. It says, don't you know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of that one you obey, either of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. So there's no in between this. There's no either or on this. That if we have believed, if we have not believed in Jesus, we are a slave to sin. We're going to constantly fall into temptations, whether it be our own desires, whether it be the world, whether it be the devil. And we are powerless to this sin. We're going to study that more next week, but here's what we're going to see next week is, but God raised Jesus from the grave. So here's what that means. There's two realities of this. Is when Jesus died on the cross and he said, it is finished, that means he paid the penalty for all of our sins for all of time. So every single time we sin, every single time we lie, every single time that we lust, every single time that we gossip, every single time that we hold that hatred in our heart, Jesus took on that punishment. Because it says our penalty, the only just punishment for sin, is death. And Jesus took all that on. When he cried out, "It is finished," he paid all that in full. But then on the other side of it, when he was bodily resurrected from the grave, what that means is he overcame sin and all the consequences of sin, the greatest one being death. I know there are several of us in here that have gotten sick over the last few weeks, me included. That's a consequence of sin. That's not how it should be. So that begs a question for us that I want you to think about. Are you a slave to sin or are you a slave to righteousness, as Romans says? Or are you frustrated with constantly missing the mark? Or maybe are you trying to hide certain sins from God? And you want to give everything else over except for this one sin. You want to keep this over in the corner. What we're going to see is if Jesus is Lord over all of sin, he's Lord over all of our lives and every aspect of our heart. We need to submit every aspect of our heart to him. Like I said earlier, here's the beautiful truth, though, guys. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But then in the next verse in 24, it says, all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So yes, all of us have sinned, but all of us are offered forgiveness and redemption through Christ. And that is an incredible truth that we get to have, because Jesus has overcome sin, and if we believe in Jesus, we're able to overcome sin. So here's a beautiful reality for you guys. If you are in Christ, sin no longer defines you. Jesus defines you. So maybe before Christ, you wrestled with lust. That no longer defines you. Love does. Maybe you wrestled with gossip. Now you're identified that you are marked by encouragement. You're able to use, instead of your mouth or phone to be able to gossip about people, you're able to use it to encourage people. Maybe before then, you felt like you were just defined by anger. You just wrestled with anger. But now Jesus defines you. He gives you peace, love, and happiness. I mean, think about who wrote this is Paul. Paul wrote this. Paul was a murderer before this. Paul was a murderer before this. And yet, that did not define him. He was a murderer. He was a blasphemer. He hated God. He hated Christians. He hated everything about Christianity. Yet, that did not define his life. God saved him and used him in so many mighty ways. So, God exercised his power by raising him from the dead in the next part of verse 20 and seating him at the right hand in the heavens. So here's the important part. A lot of us talk about the death and resurrection of Jesus. But we also got to remember, there is the ascension of Jesus. So right before Jesus went back into heaven, he's like, hey, when he gave us the Great Commission, like, go and make disciples. Go tell other people about me and teach them all these things. It said he ascended back up into heaven. And that was almost like his like exclamation point. Like when he went up and sat down, he sat down, that was like, it is done. Everything's finished. That everything's been completed. I've done everything the Father sent me to do. And because Jesus did that, when he ascended, the Holy Spirit descended. The third person of the Trinity. The same Holy Spirit in Ephesians 1:18, just a couple verses prior, where it says, I pray this Holy Spirit enlightens your eyes. And that Jesus sitting by the right hand of the Father is showing his power over sin and being Lord over sin and all of its consequences. So this means that if Jesus has set you free from your sin, that means he is Lord over your life. And we are to live our lives to glorify and honor him. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Just to go even further explain this. It says, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. So glorify God with your body. Guys, Jesus did not free us from our sin to go run back to it. In fact, I thought of this video when I thought of this passage. Jesus saved us from our sin, not run back to it. So I think this kind of perfectly captures this idea. The little sheep's free. We did it. Boom. Boom. And you know what? That can be so many of us. It's like we get right back into sin. And we're like, Jesus, I need your help. And he pulls us out and we go, yes, I'm free. Boom, right back into sin. And guys, that's our reality without Christ, is we are stuck in that ditch and we cannot get out without him. And yet God is so gracious to forgive us time and time again. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's like not about what Jesus
said. Okay.
Like,
what's
the
up?
The person recording that video, aren't they like cruel?
Aren't they cruel? They set the sheep free. Well, it's worse if they just recorded it and then no one helped them. We're like, look at this sheep stock. I don't know. You'll have to find out. At least for this one. And like we said, this is us. This is our reality. We're constantly running back into it. Because here's the thing. Like we see in Scripture, if we are not in Christ, we're slaves to sin. We said every time we sin, we are deserving of death, which means Jesus did not bring us from spiritual death to spiritual life for us to run back to what brought us death in the first place. Jesus has the power to overcome our sin and forgive us of our sin, empowers us to resist sin and to live for Jesus. Because you're saying, not only is he the forgiver of our sins, we always love saying Jesus is the friend of sinners, and that is absolutely true, but he is also the Lord over everything. He is Lord over every aspect of our spiritual life and of our hearts. But not only is he Lord over all of our sin, we see in verse 21, the second truth, Jesus is Lord over all authority. So look what it says in verse 21. It says, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given. So Jesus is Lord over everything in the spiritual life, or spiritual world and the natural world. Jesus overcoming all of our sin shows that he is Lord over every aspect of the spiritual world. But then Jesus overcoming the grave shows us that he is the leader or the Lord over everything in the natural world. He is proving that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In fact, in Colossians 2:13-15, it says he disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly, and he triumphed over them in him. So here's the beautiful thing. Jesus is not only greater than all of your sins, and those sins that you've committed no longer define you. But because he's overcome the grave, that means Jesus also is greater than any sins that might have been committed against you by other people. And that those sins no longer define you. So in fact, I'll need y'all's help a little bit with this. Is, go for it. Come here. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, champ. Hold this up.
I got a draw?
No. Here's what I want y'all to do. I want y'all to give me, and it doesn't have to be for you specifically. It could be for other people you know, things like that. Sins that have been committed against you, or maybe names that other people have called you. I mean, that have hurt. And I want you to write those down, okay? You got to be quick because they might call him out quick. And I want y'all to take this seriously. I don't just make stuff up. I mean this genuinely. You can call it. You don't have to raise your hand. Just go. What are some sins that may have been committed against you or people you know that have hurt? Or maybe names that you've been called. I mean, that cut to the core.
Punch
back. Okay. Anger. Anger. What else? Leech. What else? Annoying. Okay. Dramatic. Okay.
What did you say?
Dramatic.
Dramatic. Hey, it's okay. It's okay.
Falling off. What?
T-I-C-K. What else?
Loud.
Okay. Okay. We do have annoying.
Annoying.
What else? Ugly. What else?
Gullible. What is
stupid?
Gullible?
Oh, hey,
okay. Stupid.
Ugly.
Okay.
Already have.
Sensitive. Okay.
Wait, what is?
Teacher's pet. Here, while you're doing that, I got a few. Some I thought of, whether it be with people I know or things I've seen in others. Damaged goods. Divorce. Porn addict, drugs and alcohol are just a few I've seen in the lives of people. Just sit on the stage. Thank you. Thanks for having me. But here's what I want you to see. Guys, please take this seriously. I say this because this is something real that affects a lot of people. And that some of y'all might have had that, like, ugly, sensitive, dramatic, annoying. And I want you to know that if you are in Christ, these don't define who you are. You're not annoying. You're not ugly. You are beautifully and wonderfully made in God's image. You are not annoying. You are not annoying. You are immeasurably loved by God. You are not damaged goods. You are precious and priceless in the eyes of God. Divorce does not define you. That's two decisions by two adults. Drugs and alcohol don't define you or people you know. So here's just a few I thought of that I want to encourage you with, of how the sins of your past, or even presently, by other people don't define you. Maybe you have never felt loved by a parent. Your heavenly Father loves you perfectly and infinitely. Maybe you feel like you don't have any friends. Well, Jesus is a friend of sinners. Maybe you feel like people that you have loved and that care about you have abandoned you. Jesus says he will never leave you nor forsake you. Maybe you struggle with mental health, and even the possibility, or have in the past, harmed yourself. Those scars don't define you. Jesus' scars define you. And his scars forgives and covers your scars. Maybe, like I've said, you feel like you've been made to feel ugly, like damaged goods. And God says you are preciously made in his image. And you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that Christ can redeem any part of your past and use it for his glory. Maybe some of you, you feel like you have all these expectations on your shoulders. You have so many expectations. It feels overwhelming from coaches, from teachers, from parents, from loved ones, from other people. Jesus' only expectation of you is that you just come to him and find rest for your soul. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest and love and peace and grace and wisdom. Maybe you feel like a failure. But in Christ, failure is never final. Jesus is faithful to us till the very end. So let me ask you this. Do any of those maybe you feel like define you? Are you letting those around you define you more than Jesus? Do you believe the sins of your past, whether you committed them or have been committed against you, are too great for God? Here's the thing. When we submit our lives over to Jesus, he not only forgives us of all of our sin, but his righteousness covers us. So when God looks at you, he doesn't see the sins of your past. He doesn't see the sins that have been committed against you by other people. He doesn't see these things of what people call you. What he sees is, he sees the beautiful, pure, white cloak of Jesus' righteousness covering you. And what that means is that he loves you as he loves his son. And that he places you in that heavenly place. We're going to see that more next week, that Jesus loves you infinitely. And he loves you forever on this. That's what we see next part. It says, in this age and also in the one to come. Jesus is forever the king. So he is above all earthly kingdoms and powers and authorities. He's above every other kingdom and he will outlast all those other kingdoms. And this means we must place our faith in Jesus above everything else. We must place our faith in Jesus over a president, over a political party, over any sort of authoritative figure, because Jesus is above all of those people. I mean, gosh, just look, whenever it comes to an election season, just look at social media and how up in arms people get. And that Jesus is above all these things. Or even just when it comes to a sporting season, how people will just allow a sports team just to radically affect them. And Jesus is greater over all that. Plus, Jesus is the one that establishes all of these things because he is the ultimate authority above everything else. Because Jesus has all authority. Jesus is Lord over all of sin. Jesus is Lord over all authorities. And here's this last truth. Jesus is Lord over the church. So look what it says in verses 22. It says, and he subjected everything under his feet. So this is quoting Psalm 8:6, where it says, you made him ruler over the works of your hands, and you put everything under his feet. That word subjected, it means to force, to submit, or subdue. And so God has submitted everything under the feet of Jesus, and he has appointed him head over everything, especially for the church. That's what we see in Philippians 2, 8 through 9. It says, for this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So this means everyone is going to confess Christ as Lord and bow their knee before him, whether it be in this life or the life to come. The difference is in this life, we get the choice to be able to do that now and receive him as our Lord and Savior. But then it says he appointed him over everything for the church, which is his body. So Jesus is the head over everything, including the church, which means he is the head over everything, and he's entrusted us to be good stewards of these things. So for example, this church, Petsworth Church, it's not our church, it's his church. This student ministry is his ministry, not mine. In fact, Jesus is the head shepherd over this flock. Pastor John and I are just under shepherds entrusted by God. That God has entrusted y'all's souls and spiritual growth to me and these leaders. And that we'll have to give an account for how we handled that. And if we're good stewards of that. That's why we take so many things seriously in this. He's Lord over every aspect of your life and entrust you to be good stewards of those things. So that means just you that play sports, you're involved in theater, if you're involved in school, all these things, God has entrusted you to be a good steward of that. Or another thing, God has entrusted you even with the very breath in your lungs to be good stewards of that. So are you using that to tear people down or build people up? He gives you, entrusts you with this mind to think more about the beauty of Christ and think our need for him. Or using that mind to run off to just mindless things. or go off to websites or things that you should not be looking at that just destroy our minds. He gives us our bodies to glorify and honor Him. He gives us our jobs to glorify and honor Him. And it says Jesus is the head over His body. This body is the church, which means this. That means if you are in Christ, we all have a role to play in His kingdom. We all get a job that we get to do. If you have been saved by Jesus, then that means you are called to serve Jesus. We're not called to be consumers, but contributors. So that's why we have these amazing leaders who pour out their hearts to y'all, not only just on Wednesdays, but gosh, throughout the week. It's because not only were they saved by Jesus, but they were like, man, I want to contribute back. And the biggest thing I want to contribute is I want to pour into these young adults because they love y'all so, so much. They were like, we want to serve these young adults and point y'all to Jesus and help y'all grow in y'all's relationship with Jesus. Because if we have been saved by Jesus, we're called to serve Him. So let me ask you this. How are you getting involved in the life of the church? Where are you serving at? Are you merely being a consumer by just attending? Or are you being a contributor? Are you being actively involved in the life of this church? Just think, if we are in Christ, that means the Holy Spirit's within you, and He's given you at least one spiritual gift. And that one spiritual gift is to be used in service to the church, to build the church up, and encourage one another, and help us all grow in our relationship with Jesus, but also point other people to Jesus so they can be saved. So just, what is that gift for you? Just think, we're the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. We're the body, which means we all have a role to play. Not everyone's going to be a foot. Not everyone's going to be a hand. Not everyone's going to be a knee or whatever the case is. Here's a great example. I've been able to see two incredible teams the last 2 weeks with Gloucester High School's field hockey team and the boys' volleyball team. What was so cool is just seeing everyone work together as a unit. Like just seeing them work as a team. Like when I was at the volleyball game yesterday, just seeing how they all worked around and communicated and played, it was awesome to watch. Or when I saw the field hockey team play last week, how they all contribute in different ways and how they would celebrate just for any little things with goals. And again, not everyone's going to play the same position. I remember even just last night when I was watching the game, how Carl and Dylan and Hayden and Grayson and so many others were encouraging one another. Or even Carson, even though he might not have been game much, he was on the bench just encouraging people, whether they're up or down, just wanting to be an encouragement. They're all playing a role to play to encourage one another. How they pick each other up, they celebrate goals and wins, and the church should be this, but infinitely more. We all have our own positions to play in the church, and we want to celebrate one another. We see things go well, we see each other grow in our relationship with Christ. We see wins, if you will. We want to celebrate these things. Because here's why. Look what it says in the last part of verse 23, which is the body, His body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. Here's what this means. We are nothing without Jesus. In fact, in John 15, verse 5, it says, I'm the vine, and you are the branches. And the one who remains in me, and I in him, produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. So that means if he is Lord over everything, he is provider over everything. Or in Colossians 1, 15 through 20, just listen to what Paul writes when he says this. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Just like the body needs a head, we need Jesus. We desperately need him. I wasn't able to point out, but I want just to think about this. I don't have it down here with me, but does anybody know what this thing is right here? What is this? It's a power strip, right? So I want you to imagine this. That's a power strip. And so imagine that power strip is plugged into itself. What's going to happen? Okay.
Nothing.
Why? Why nothing?
Because it's plugged into itself. It has no electricity.
Okay, but what if I have this speaker plugged into it? Then what?
It's not going to do nothing.
What if I have this speaker plugged into it? Then what? What if I have this TV plugged into it? Then what? What if I have the fridge from the cafe plugged into it? Then what? Why?
Because there ain't no power to it.
Okay. So how do you get power to it? You plug it into an outlet. That power strip can do nothing without being plugged into a power source. It doesn't matter how much things I plug into it, it's nothing without that power source. Guys, a lot of us are living lives as if we are plugged into that power strip. That we are trying to run off our own strength and our own energy, and nothing's going to happen. It doesn't matter what we're involved in, how much we're serving in church, or how much that we are involved in all these sports or athletics or academics or anything outside of that. Is that we must be in Christ in order to do anything. It says, apart from me, you can do nothing. It doesn't say you can do some things. It says, apart from Christ, we can do nothing. We are meant to plug into the ultimate source, which is Christ, and have His power and grace and love and mercy flow in and through us in every aspect of our life. Because not only did He create everything like you and I, but He is Lord over everything, including you and I. So we must submit our lives to His Lordship. And we cannot do this by our own power. We cannot submit to Jesus by our own strength. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit we can do this. So just as we saw last week, the Holy Spirit empowers us to know Jesus and believe in Jesus and experience all these promises. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can submit our lives to Jesus, turn everything over to Him, and be able to live our lives for Him. So let me ask you this, just plain and simple. Is Jesus the Lord over your life? Do you submit every aspect of your life over to Him? Or are there certain aspects you are trying to hold on with a death grip, saying, you can have everything else, Jesus, but this one thing? Whether it be a sin that you just don't want to let go of, whether it be a certain part of your life, whether it be family or friends or school or sports. Are you daily dependent upon Jesus? Think about this. There's so many times that God is so gracious to us that God even gives us the next breath in our lungs. Even if sometimes we can take that same breath and curse God. He provides everything we need. And lastly, are you living for Jesus and serving Him with your life? Because He has exercised power over everything, which means He is Lord over everything, which means we must submit everything of our lives over to Him. And here's the beauty, guys. Maybe there are some of you that you haven't. You've not submitted everything over. You've been running against that. You've been fighting against that. You've been sinning against Him. Here's the beauty. Again, He has overcome the grave, which means He can forgive you of those sins. That He meets you in your sin and your brokenness and your hurt, and He forgives you. And that He helps us be able to do that. There might be some of you, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You've never truly repented of your sins, believed in Him, received salvation. That could be tonight. And myself or any leaders would love to talk to you about that. Because again, this is so important that Jesus is Lord over everything, which means we must make Him Lord over everything and every aspect of our life. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are so grateful for You. We're grateful for just Your Son. We're grateful that He has overcome everything, that He's overcome sin. He's overcome all the consequences of sin. That sin no longer defines us, nor the sins of others defines us. That You have overcome and You are stronger than any authority or rule or anything else, which means no matter what someone has said about us, Jesus, You get the final word. No matter what the world tries to say, no matter what lies Satan tries to tell us, Jesus, You get the final say-so on it. And Jesus, we're so grateful that You're head over the church, which means since You've overcome everything, that means You empower us to be able to face all this opposition and know that You are with us every step of the way. You will not leave us. And You're with us every way so we can glorify You with every aspect of our life. So again, I pray for each and every one of these young adults in this room. If there is someone that has not truly made You Lord of their life, that tonight would be that night. Or if there's students in here that they have not submitted everything over to You, that You would reveal that and You would empower them to submit that over to You and trust You with that and to live for You that much more. I pray each and every one of us, show us how You want us to serve You in the church. Because I thank You for all these young adults and all the amazing ways that You have gifted them from their personalities and their talents and their gifts and their abilities? Would you just show us that? Help us. We cannot do anything apart from you, Jesus. So would you remind us that we need you every single day, every single moment, for everything in our life? We cannot do anything apart from you. We thank you that you give us everything we need to be able to live for you. So it's in your precious, holy name we pray. Amen.